You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
All right, all right. You are Locked On Broncos. Welcome aboard. It's time to talk some Broncos. I am Luke Polglase, semi-pro football coach, NFL draft analyst. Stepping in today for my main man, Chad Jensen, is the inimitable Eric Trickle, draft analyst for MileHighHuddle.com. Eric, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. It is good to have you back. Obviously, we had Nick in yesterday, Eric in back on Monday, and we'll be getting Chad back tomorrow. But it is always always great to get another friendly face and voice in on the program. So we're going to be talking some draft today. But just as always, we are committed to bringing you a daily podcast focused on the Denver Broncos. It's going to be at least 5 days a week. It's going to be not just the news. It's a deep dive. It's analysis. It's what you want to hear, and it's what you're going to want to look for when you're talking about the Broncos. Definitely share the episodes, give us some love. Twitter's great, Facebook is great, Reddit is great. I mean, heck, if you want to just download it onto a flash drive and pass it out to people on the street, I'm not going to complain. You can definitely give our work a read at milehighhuddle.com. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Broncos. Definitely follow us over there. We could use the attention. We definitely appreciate it. The home of Locked On Broncos is Audio Boom, but definitely subscribe on iTunes and on Stitcher. As we go forward into the draft, you're not going to want to miss a single episode. Now, I know we've been talking a lot of draft this week. Talked one guy on Monday with Eric, talked another two guys yesterday with Nick, and we're going to be talking a full three guys today. So it's going to be a draft heavy episode for all you draft Knicks out there. Eric, I know we're going to be talking about a guy who a lot of people are linking to the Broncos in the first round. That is, of course, Ryan Ramczyk. It's going to be a lot of practice for me to say that name correctly. You know, once you got those Polish names with enough vowels and syllables thrown in all there, I get a little bit tripped up. But it is Ryan Ramczyk, the offensive tackle out of Wisconsin, standing 6'6", 314. Eric, I mean, your thoughts on him?
I like him a lot. He was actually, for the longest time, my top tackle until I got around to someone else from a little bit of a smaller school. And there are some medical red flags with him, a hip and something with his right shoulder. I haven't been able to figure out just what it is that's concerning teams with that shoulder yet. But I've just been told there's something there. Love his athleticism. Love his smarts. Love his toughness. There's just so much to love about him.
You know, there really is, and especially when you're talking technique for an offensive lineman. So many offensive linemen these days are coming out of college just lacking in that necessary technique to play at the next level. And that's one thing that you see so consistently with Ramczyk, is that he has that athleticism, that he has the ability to do so much for you. And one thing with that is that he plays so well in space for a tackle. I mean, you'll see, especially these days in college, you know, teams are just sticking some of their biggest boys at left tackle, at right tackle, and they're just asking them to go out and play in space against the other big boys. But Ramczyk, I mean, he's big, but he can play in space. He's athletic. And you talk about, a lot of times you talk about the butt of a tackle filming the quarterback. You know, he mirrors the pass rushers so well in space, and he really keeps his backside to the quarterback, which is exactly what you want him to do.
Yes, his butt is the camera. Isn't that the saying that Gruden does? You got to keep the camera on the quarterback, and the butt of the left tackle is the camera?
That's right, man. Keep filming the quarterback.
Yeah. But he does that, and he's so good at it, and he doesn't. There are a few cases where he plays overly aggressive, especially in the run game. It allows a little bit of people to cut back inside and make a play. But he's one of the top tackles. Even the guy, even if he's being like one of the best tackles to ever come out, there's going to be some kind of issues with him. There's issues with any player and every player. And with him, you find a lot of nitpicky kind of stuff and medicals.
Yeah, and the medicals are definitely going to be a concern, especially in the NFL, where if you're going to spend a first round pick on a guy, you got to do your background work. You got to do that kind of homework, and you got to make sure that he's going to be a guy who's going to be on the field for you for all 5 years of that first round rookie deal. Because if you're going to invest that extra year, you got to make sure that you're going to get something out of it.
Yeah, and medicals, as you said, they're such a big deal. They've dropped players from being top 10 picks to third round picks. They dropped a running back a few years back, Chris Polk out of Washington.
Yeah, I think so.
I can't remember where he's out of, but they dropped him from being a borderline first round pick to undrafted.
Sure. Sure. And you had a guy, you know, last year in Andrew Billings, I think is a great example. Big boy who was in first round talk and he fell a long way. I want to say like third round.
I thought it was the fifth.
It might have been the fifth, whatever it was. I mean, you know, I think it was the Bengals who eventually stopped his slide. But, you know, when you've got a guy who has serious injury questions, teams are obviously going to be wary about spending that pick on you. I think the thing that I love the most about Ramczyk is how he down blocks. I mean, the guy is nasty and he just washes people down the line.
Yeah. Before I get more on him, he went in the fourth round, Andrew Billings, by the way.
Oh, there you go.
So we split it. But yeah, as you said, how he down blocks, how he blocks down the line. What I love is that he wants to finish. I love seeing the desire to finish an offensive lineman, and finishing, if you don't know, is putting the defensive lineman on the ground. And there was one play, I can't remember who they were playing against. He got the guy on the ground, and as the guy was getting up, he came over and just pushed him back down to the ground. Made me laugh. I loved seeing it.
Absolutely. And I think one thing that's very interesting to note with Ramczyk is, you know, oftentimes you've got a left tackle in, you know, he's going to be the blindside protector. Well, Wisconsin had for several games this year, they started a quarterback, Alex Hornibrook. Now, Hornibrook is left-handed, which means he's actually the front side, or which means that Ramczyk would be the front side tackle in that. So it's interesting to note that he has had that experience of protecting the blind side, obviously, but of also being the kind of the quarterback's front side read tackle.
Yeah, and there are some teams that feel that he isn't a left tackle to start, and I actually agree with this. I don't think he is a day one left tackle. Plug him in at right tackle for a year, maybe two, then move him over. But definitely has experience being that blindside guy and the guy in front of him, and it's experience that you just can't write off.
Exactly. It gives him so much swing tackle potential at the next level. All right. Well, just to move on, we're going to talk about another two likely first round prospects. But first, just want to make a quick note for those of you looking to advertise on the podcast. According to a study from the Interactive Advertising Bureau and Edison Research, consumers are highly likely to purchase from podcast sponsors. Now, according to that survey of 1,000 podcast listeners, nearly 2/3 of them were more willing to consider purchasing products and services that they learned about during a podcast. 60% added that given equal price and quality, they prefer to purchase from companies that advertise on their favorite programs and podcasts. So now if you're out there sitting, listening to this podcast, you got to be thinking to yourself, all right, well, this is where I fit in. This is where I, as a business owner, can make an impact. And if you'd like to reach the male demographic between the ages of 18 and 44, your company should be sponsoring this podcast. 98% of our listenership is male. 80% of them are between the ages 18 to 44. Our rates are very reasonable. Feel free to reach out to us at LockedOnBroncos@gmail.com to discuss it further. Now, our next player on the other side of the ball is going to be the Alabama linebacker Reuben Foster, again from Jacob Smith at JS Mile High 9798. Reuben Foster, he's 6'1", 228. My take, and I know this is a hot take, but man, I think he's good. I think he's good, man.
That's just a smoking hot take there. Actually, I have him as the best defensive player in the draft.
I think you think he's good too.
Just a little bit.
Well, I mean, when you talk about Alabama linebackers recently, obviously they've had no shortage of great quality prospects coming out. CJ Mosley, Reggie Ragland. I know that this is kind of a bit of a hot take. I don't think it's going to be as hot of a take when the draft itself rolls around. But I think, quite honestly, Foster is the best of the bunch.
For sure. He definitely is. I had Ragland as a late second round pick last year. I had Mosley as a late first round pick. And as I said, neither one of them were in the top 10 or even close to the top 10 for defensive players in the draft that year. But Foster, as I said previously, just a minute ago or so, he's my top defensive player in the draft. And I actually ran him and my number two and number three prospect in the draft through my player grades, which were featured on Mile High Huddle for years. And CJ Foster came out on top with a 95.7 grade. The next two were 95.6 and 95.3. So it's a close race, but he's out there at the top.
Just out of curiosity, Eric, who were those other two players?
The guy who came in number two was Miles Garrett, the defensive lineman, outside linebacker from Texas A&M, and then Solomon Thomas, the defensive lineman from Stanford.
So again, you got two players, one of them who's going to be probably the number one overall pick, and another guy who's going to be, I think, definitely in the discussion for top 10, top 15. Boy, you know, that's some pretty hefty company for Reuben Foster to be in, but I think you have to put him there. I mean, the way he plays on the field, he has the range. He goes sideline to sideline. He's so good in the box. I mean, he's instinctive. He knows his film keys. He reads the offense. I mean, this kid's the complete deal, right?
Yes. At one point over the season, he's great in coverage. He's great against the run. And one point against the season, in about 100 to 110 run defense snaps, he had 20 tackles and 15 of them were stops. That's ridiculous. Oof.
Man, and the thing is, he's got great tackling technique. Honestly, I can't say enough great stuff about him. I think he's a top five caliber talent as a linebacker. Now, the issue is, where does the NFL see him? Because off ball linebackers traditionally haven't gone that high in the draft consistently. I mean, you start looking at this draft order, you kind of go down. Those Cincinnati Bengals sitting right there at number nine, they need that speed. They need that playmaking ability at linebacker. Well, you kind of have to think that they make a run at him.
I can't imagine they pass him up willingly. If they do, it's definitely pushing from someone, or they're trading down, hoping to get a little bit more elsewhere. But yeah, he's just such a talent and such a versatile player. And with how prominent tight ends are becoming, you need his coverage ability. And when I ran through my grades, as I previously mentioned, I compared him to two premier coverage linebackers. And his average over a five-game span was about 5 points higher than the guy number two, and I think 6.5 points higher than the number third guy.
Well, that would do it then. Foster is a heck of a player. Now, another guy that we wanted to talk about today got the request from Dylan West at Dills the West on Twitter. He says, Njoku is interesting to me. That meaning, of course, David Njoku, the Miami tight end at 6'4", 245. He's an athletic kid as well. Obviously, Nick and I talked about OJ Howard on the show yesterday, the Bama tight end. I think these two are pretty much 1A and 1B in most people's minds for the tight end position in this draft. Eric, first of all, I gotta say, he looks smaller than 245. I'm gonna say he's something like 230 on film. He looks a little bit light to me, but I'm not gonna say that this kid can't make plays, because he can.
He can, and I think he's the guy that everybody wants Evan Engram to be, that tight end wide receiver hybrid.
Wow, that is quite a statement there. The guy everybody wants Evan Engram to be, and of course Engram could be, you know, a top round pick. We saw him play well at the Senior Bowl. You know, your thoughts on Njoku? Obviously, he's an athletic kid. I think he's gonna struggle, I think, in space a bit at the NFL level to block. He's just a little bit stiff in his hips. But he, you know, he's a fighter when it comes to blocking. He drives, recovers well, and he blocks from inline well too. You know, getting up to the second level. Oh man, some NFL coach is gonna spend hours getting his 3-point stance right, because his butt is way too high in the air.
Yes, the thing I like to use to describe his blocking is that it's good enough at times, but good enough does not mean it's good.
Yeah, and I think especially with him, you're just kind of taking him based on the athleticism, as I talked about yesterday with Nick. You know, you're taking him with the athletic ability, and you're going to kind of try and build on that and kind of make him into something more. And I think especially with tight end, you know, he's not a great polished route runner, not a lot of nuance to his routes. He's just an athlete, and he's going to go out there and use that athleticism to get open.
Yeah, the athleticism, as you said, he's one of the more elite athletes, and his athleticism, I'm pretty sure he's going to test out similar to Vernon Davis, who really made the athletic tight end such a big thing in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, he's athletic in a small area. You can throw him screens and swing passes. And man, I got a little bit frustrated watching the film. Somebody tell his coach at the next level, he's not a pass blocker, he's a pass catcher.
Yeah, currently, you mentioned how Howard and Njoku are most people's 1A, 1B. He's currently my number one. But as I mentioned to Luke off screen, is that I have to do some reevaluating. I'm going to put them through my grades, and I'm really curious how they're going to see. I have a feeling that Joku's going to test out higher as a receiver, but a lot lower as a blocker.
And that makes sense. Do you think he's going to be there when the Broncos pick at number 20? And do you think they have interest in him?
I can't see that why them not having interest in him. I think that they're going to do enough in free agency to where they're not forced to reach for an offensive lineman, because I don't have any offensive lineman graded in that range. So I definitely think he'll be in the conversation. Whether they go that way, that's hard to say, especially with 2 months left, 3 months till the draft. There's a lot that can happen. And this is a deep class. I mean, they may think that they can get better value in one of those later rounds with like the injured Jake Butt or Jordan Leggett or Gerald Everett or one of these many other guys.
Or
that
Ingram.
They can pick, yeah, or Ingram, then picking up Joku at number 20.
Great stuff, Eric. Well, thank you again for joining us again. Makes it two appearances with Eric this week. We'll definitely get you again on again sometime in the future, my man. Thank you so much for joining us.
No problem. Happy to come along.
Yeah, you can follow him on Twitter at Eric Trickle. You can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Broncos. Myself at Luke Polglaze. You know, give my man Chad some love as well at Chad N. Jensen. He'll be back in with me tomorrow, and we'll move forward with the week recapping the Broncos. So check out the other killer podcasts on the network. Obviously, Locked On NFL Draft and NFL both hit it out of the park. They're great shows. So, you know, definitely take a look at them. Don't forget to subscribe for Luke. That's me. See you tomorrow.
Mile High Huddle.